Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, Alan Epstein representing defendant Donnie Tipton. The first issue raised is whether the trial court erred in permitting plaintiff's biomechanical engineering expert to render accident reconstruction opinions when plaintiff did not lay a foundation to establish that he was qualified to render such opinions. Part of defendant's causation defense was that the vehicular accident could not have caused plaintiff's L4-5 disc injury. And in support of that defense, defendant introduced evidence from a biomechanical engineering expert, Dr. Swigert, who premised his opinions on an accident reconstruction that was performed by an accident reconstruction expert in his firm. Dr. Swigert testified that the accident dynamics would not have exerted lateral bending or torsion and compression necessary to inflict plaintiff's L4-5 disc protrusion. Plaintiff called a biomechanical engineering expert, Dr. Broker, in rebuttal. Over defendant's objection, Dr. Broker was permitted to give an accident reconstruction opinion that plaintiff's car underwent a rapid rotational spin and an up and down motion which caused the protrusion. While it may be permissible for an expert from one specialty to offer an opinion on another area of expertise, it is only permissible if a foundation is presented establishing the witness's expertise in that other specialized area.
Mr. Epstein, what is the distinction between accident reconstruction expertise and what this witness testified about?
The difference between accident reconstruction expertise and what Dr. Broker testified about is there isn't any. He began with an accident reconstruction theory formulated by an accident reconstructionist. Then he performed accident reconstruction himself to elaborate on the original theory. He was a biomechanical engineer is expert in what force, in a nutshell, what forces exerted on the body in an automobile accident do, what the effect is, while an accident reconstructionist actually recreates those outside forces. And Dr. Broker testified that he did not hold himself out as an accident reconstruction expert.
But isn't the real issue whether the witness's qualifications here were sufficient to qualify him to express an opinion upon those subjects about which he expressed an opinion, irrespective of what he's called?
It is.
And didn't the expert here, in terms of forces and how they worked upon the human body, have sufficient qualifications, or at least the court found that to be the case?
No, the court, in fact, did not find that to be the case. The court expressed concern that he didn't have the qualifications to render an accident reconstruction opinion and stopped him in the middle of his testimony when the court recognized that that was what he was doing. And then
Was there a motion to strike the previous testimony then?
There was an objection prior to the testimony being given.
Was it stricken?
No, it was not. The testimony was not stricken. There was an objection to the testimony. There was an objection when the testimony began to be elicited. Then the court began inquiring of counsel whether this wasn't crossing over the line. There was a colloquy that occurred, but there wasn't a sufficient foundation laid by plaintiff's counsel to establish that he did have the qualifications to render not just an opinion on what outside forces would cause, the effect those forces would cause on the human body, but to recreate what those forces were. That's the distinction that I'm trying to draw.
He could not testify about, you know, gee, something had to come up, as opposed to the truck actually going down. He could not testify in that manner.
I don't think he could testify in that manner without being qualified as someone who had the expertise to.
Is that not a matter of common sense? The truck wouldn't lower itself. You know, basically where the car got hit, it had to have come up. Isn't that a matter of common sense, not expertise? Truck can't go lower. Something can go higher.
Well, I don't think that he was qualified to testify to the rotational spin and the up and down movement without having a foundation laid for his expertise to. I don't think that the trial testimony was sufficiently simple to make that a matter of common sense. I think it did require expertise in that area.
What type of expertise would be required? Well, to testify, I mean, why wouldn't an engineer be qualified to express a view that the vehicle went up?
Well, I don't think that there was a foundation laid in this instance that he was qualified to make that.
Why wouldn't any engineer be able to testify to that?
I don't think, but well, there are subspecialties of engineering, and accident reconstruction experts are called as expert witnesses as opposed to biomechanical engineering experts because of that. One is not necessarily qualified to render an opinion on another area of subspecialty, just as there are subspecialties of medicine. And sometimes a subspecialty of medicine expert can.
Or a completely different specialist can testify, can he not?
Sure, like in Huntoon v. TCI yes. Cablevision. The Supreme Court held that neuropsychologists are not necessarily unqualified to give an opinion on the physical cause of organic brain injury, but in that case, the party offering the testimony laid a foundation establishing the witness's expertise, including an explanation of the way neuropsychological testing reveals the impact of an injurious event on an individual's ability to carry out daily activities, and the manner in which neuropsychologists use tests and other clinical data to diagnose brain injury as manifested by cognitive impairment.
So Mr. Epstein, is your argument either one, that under no circumstances can a biomechanical engineer testify as to the forces resulting from a collision? Or is it that this biomechanical engineer, on this occasion, there was not a sufficient foundation laid for his ability to testify with expertise about the forces in this accident?
The latter.
It is the latter.
I'm not saying that a biomechanical engineering expert can't also be an expert in accident reconstruction, but I don't think the foundation was laid here.
Was the terms accident reconstruction expert weren't used in qualifying him? What else did he, I think, go back to the very, very beginning, what Judge Carparelli asked, what else did he have to know, experience, or learn to be able to talk about accident reconstruction? What was he missing in his experience or education so that whether he was labeled accident reconstruction or not, he still would have had some specialized knowledge about it? What was he missing?
Well, I think he would have had to have been qualified to perform accident reconstruction, and he said that he wasn't. He said that he did not hold himself out as an expert in that area. The judge did not qualify him as an expert in that area, expressed concern that he wasn't, and then I don't think after that colloquy occurred, there was a foundation, sufficient foundation laid for him to render such an opinion. And the judge then said, "I'm going to let him render that opinion, and you can cross-examine him. But you can always cross-examine an expert. That doesn't mean he was qualified to render that opinion in the first instance."
Did the witness say that he is not qualified to render opinions on accident reconstruction, or did he simply say he's not obtained that certification?
Well, his exact words were, "I don't hold myself out as an expert in motor vehicle accident reconstruction."
Counsel, was the witness tendered as an expert on some subject?
biomechanical engineering.
And he was accepted on that basis?
Yes.
And his testimony should have been limited to what then?
Biomechanical engineering. Well,
tell me, I'm not a biomechanical engineer. Tell me what that means in lay terms.
What the forces of the accident, of this accident, as described by someone who was a an accident reconstructionist, would have had on the human body under in this accident.
Did not do this? I thought he relied on the report of another accident reconstruction expert. I thought he relied in part on information provided him from another accident reconstruction expert. Am I wrong about that?
He developed, I hope I'm not splitting hairs, but no, he developed the theory and he ran it, he said he ran it by someone who was in it, who was a trucking accident reconstruction expert, I believe was the foundation that was laid.
So let me see if I can't summarize to be sure that what I understand what you're saying. The biomechanical engineer understands the effect of forces on a body, and the accident reconstruction expert will talk about the forces resulting from a collision.
The accident reconstructionist will describe the physical mechanics of how the accident occurred.
How the accident occurred, and part of doing that is understanding forces and counter forces and et cetera. I mean, they'll start from a basic position, but they'll say, upon this collision, then this would have happened.
Right. I mean, to oversimplify, and I'm not an expert, but given the tire tracks that precede this accident, based on my knowledge in accident reconstruction, I can tell that the vehicle weighed X and that the vehicle was traveling at X speed prior to
right.
the impact.
The only difference here, I gather, between the two experts in terms of physical forces is whether or not the vehicle in which the plaintiff was riding was as a result of the impact brought up and then came down. Is that a fair statement?
Well, brought up and then came, well, there was an up and down movement described by Dr. Broecker in conjunction with a rapid rotational spin, which Dr. Swigert didn't testify to and implicitly didn't agree with, because his the accident reconstruction mechanism that he was relying on, Dr. Swigert, didn't have those components to it. That's why it was his opinion that the accident couldn't have exerted the type of force on plaintiff's body necessary to cause this L4-5 protrusion.
Let me ask you this. Would it not, could if it was a matter of common sense that a car had to come up as opposed to the truck coming down, could a biomechanical engineer testify that the only way that could have happened would have been this rotational spin?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I suppose any lay witness could testify to facts that would rebut or deny the expert's opinion in terms of physical facts, such as, for example, where the damage on the vehicle took place. I mean, it doesn't take an expert to measure to see where a dent is, does it?
No, but it might take an expert to
determine how it came about.
Right. Yeah. Finally, on this issue, plaintiff argues that it was harmless error to admit Dr. Broecker's testimony because several of her medical witnesses testified that plaintiff's disc injury resulted from the accident, but plaintiff's medical witnesses were not rendering duplicative accident reconstruction testimony based on expertise in that area. They were assuming plaintiff's disc protrusion was caused by the accident based on the subjective history plaintiff related to them. And the witness's testimony, these witnesses' testimony, was not the same type of testimony offered through Dr. Broeker, so the introduction was not harmless error. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Epstein.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Dean Neuwirth. I represent Heather Terry. I think it would be helpful if I did go through this quickly because both experts agreed that there were three stages to this accident. In the first stage, the truck moves over from the right to the left and impacts the front right of my client's car. That's the first impact, stage one. That impact pushes the car out in a counterclockwise direction. The car rotates.
Would you turn yourself so Mr. Epstein can see what you're doing?
And as it rotates, the back rear of the car hits the bottom of the trailer. That's step two.
Did both experts agree to step two?
Both experts agreed to step one and step two, and they agreed to step three, which was the car then is facing southbound and comes to a stop in the median. Those are the three steps. Both experts were qualified as biomechanical experts. Both happened to have a background in accident reconstruction. The defense expert was accredited as an accident reconstruction. The plaintiff's expert was not accredited, but he had a consulting business where he testified he had worked on 150 to 200 motor vehicle cases, and he had testified as an expert in court in about 30 of them.
Not as an accident reconstruction expert.
That was not said, either way.
Okay, but when he says, I don't hold myself out to be an expert in accident reconstruction, can you infer that he hadn't testified as an expert those 15 to 30 times?
I don't think so, Judge Daly, and the reason is you have to understand the context in which that statement was made. Let me go back, if I may, to the three steps of the accident. What Dr. Broeker added was the mechanics of the forces to which my client's spine was subjected during the rotation of the second stage. Mr. Epstein said that their expert, Dr. Swiger, did not say the rotation was quick. That's incorrect. March 4th, transcript, page 49, he said the rotation was quick. What happened was Dr. Swiger's testimony was that when Ms. Terry is in the car, and the car is rotating between the first and the second impacts, the force exerted on her spine is small because it's as if she's on a merry-go-round. And he used this analogy to, if you're standing on a merry-go-round and it moves, then you move with it, and your body is not subjected to any kind of torsion or torquing force. What Dr. Broeker came in and said was that actually during that rotation, Ms. Terry's spine was subject to a torsional force for two reasons. One, the speed of the impact was fast, and the effect of that was that as the car rotated around and her pelvis is in the seat held down by the lap seat belt, it moves ahead of her spine because the impact from the first impact at stage one, inertia is going to carry her body forward. The car rotates, her pelvis goes left, and then her spine is whipped around behind her. That was torsional loading. That was one of the things that he described. The other thing he described...
And that would have been based on Dr. Swigert's testimony as well. I mean, Mr. Swigert's testimony provided basically the physical movement of the car.
Absolutely, Your Honor. Dr. Broeker testified in rebuttal of Dr. Swigert, and so they agreed on these three stages, and where Dr. Broeker came in and disagreed was, what happened to Ms. Terry's spine during the second stage? What was going on? And so he described the effect of the rotation. Swigert said, no loading of the spine during rotation, just like going around on a merry-go-round. Broeker came in and said, not so, because pelvis moving separate from torso, quick speed of the rotation whips it around, pardon me, and loads the spine. The second aspect of what Dr. Broeker did was what Judge Daly has alluded to as this common sense idea that because the trailer couldn't have come down, and the height of the rear damage to the car was less than the bottom of the trailer, therefore the car must have gone up. And Dr. Broeker contacted an accident reconstructionist who specialized in trucks, and the defendant agreed that was proper, and it is proper under the 700 series of rules and the case law. And Broeker said, could this have happened this way? In other words, Dr. Broeker said, my reading of the evidence shows that the only way we could have got damage to the back is if the car went up. And the truck accident reconstructionist said, yes, because in step one, when the car goes under the spinning wheels of the trailer, the energy from the spinning wheels pushes the car up. You know, we've got a 70,000 pound, or what, a 42,000 pound truck and a 2,000 pound car. And so the energy from these rear wheels of the trailer spinning at 75 miles an hour when it presses down on the front right of the car pushes it up so that the car rotates, it's also going up. So what Dr. Broeker was saying is not only is Ms. Terry's spine contorted or subject to these torquing forces because her pelvis is moving ahead of her spine in this quick rotation, but there's also an up and down component to the rotation that exerts force on the spine, and those two factors can account for the injury. And so he is rebutting the testimony of Dr. Swigert that the injury that the movement of rotation was purely a merry-go-round type of situation. Now, with respect to, Dr. Broeker's, or this idea that there's this sharp distinction between biomechanics and accident reconstruction, the testimony of both Dr. Swigert and Dr. Broeker does not bear that out. In fact, Dr. Swigert, the defense expert, early in his testimony was describing bioengineering. He had a PhD in bioengineering. Dr. Broeker had a PhD in biomechanics. The difference was not explained. But with respect to bioengineering, Dr. Swigert says, March 4th, transcript at page 24, that includes the dynamics of a vehicle. Bioengineering includes the dynamics of the vehicle, meaning the motion of the vehicle. Then on page 28 of his testimony, he says, the way you do the biomechanics part is first you need to find out what dynamics the body went through. Then you look at the injuries that person sustained. You line the two up and you see if they match. So, and then Dr. Broeker similarly testified that biomechanics is a broad field. It bridges the life sciences and physical sciences. You look at quote-unquote movement dynamics, and you have to determine what laws of physics are at work in the situation: force, motion, position, and speed. So, going back to these two components of the rotation that Dr. Broeker talked about, and by the way, Dr. Broeker's testimony describing the field of biomechanics is found on the March 4th transcript, pages 123 to 127. So with respect to the quickness of the speed of rotation and the fact that the pelvis rotated ahead of the torso, what is Dr. Broeker really opining on? What he's saying, he's opining on the laws of physics of the speed of objects in motion relative to each other. Because what he was saying was this. During stage one, the truck is going at 75 miles an hour, and Dr. Swigert testified that the result of this impact of step one was that the car slowed down by 75 miles an hour. In other words, we start at the premise that both vehicles are moving at approximately the same speed. We all know if you run into something, it's going to slow you down. Dr. Swigert said that this stage one impact slowed the car down by 7 miles an hour. Now the car's spinning, but the truck is still continuing down the road at 75. In order for the car to have impacted the back of the trailer in the spin, the rotation had to be almost instantaneous. I think the testimony was a fraction of a second, because otherwise the truck would have left the car behind as it proceeded down the highway. So that's how Dr. Broeker knew for sure that the speed of rotation was very fast. And that also, I think, is a matter of common sense. If you just think about what's going on when you have two objects moving relative to each other and suddenly one is slowed down and yet they still contact. So that's a question of the laws of physics. That's biomechanics. With respect to the up and down motion, what we have there is there's there's damage to the back of the car, it's at a certain height, the truck's at a certain height, it's a question of position. And one of the aspects of biomechanics that Dr. Broeker explained was we look at position. So my position in this case is that Dr. Broeker was eminently testified to talk about the issues that he talked about, that these issues were in direct rebuttal of Dr. Swigert, that he was explaining what happened, what really happened during this rotation, and why the effect of the rotation was not kind of a nice, calm children's merry-go-round the way Dr. Swigert had described it, and instead caused torsion to Ms. Heather's spine in two different ways, and that the force generated from those two different methods was more than enough to create the injury that she suffered from.
Did Dr. Swigert talk at all about how this damage to the back of the vehicle could have occurred consistent with his thesis?
He did, Your Honor. He agreed to all three steps. He did testify that the back damage was the result of the second impact after the rotation, but what he did not do was explain how the damage got there. You know, he didn't explain how if the top of the trunk, the rear trunk of the car, is lower than the bottom of the trailer, how could the bottom of the trailer have impacted the top of the trunk? So he agreed the damage occurred at stage three, but he didn't describe how.
And the damage we're talking about on the top of the trunk, we're talking about on the upward face, the face of the trunk that's parallel going up.
Yes, Your Honor, right where the bottom of the windshield and the trunk come together, right there. And what happened was there's at the back of the truck, my little model doesn't have one, but there's a little bar that comes down called an ICC bar, I guess from the old Interstate Commerce Commission, just so that a motorcyclist or a car can't get underneath. So what you have is you've got damage to the top of the trunk at the base of the windshield, but then you also have damage to the lower bumper behind the right wheel. And the testimony was that the top damage was on the trunk was from hitting the bottom of the trailer. The lower damage at the bumper of the car was from hitting the ICC bar. And that fit with the testimony of both experts.
Who said that the lower damage was from the ICC bar?
My recollection is that they both said that. And what's also important, I think, for the court to understand is that in giving his opinions about, you know, adding these two components of force to which Ms. Terry's spine was subjected during step two, Dr. Broeker was using the three stages of the accident that had been determined by an accident reconstructionist for the defense. So in other words, Dr. Swigert testified, he didn't do the accident reconstruction himself either. He relied on an accident reconstructionist in his office to set up those three stages, stage one impact, stage two rotation, stage three second impact and separation. Dr. Broeker came in and he said, I agree with those three stages, but I don't think that Dr. Swigert has properly explained what happened to Ms. Terry's spine, the forces to which she was subjected during stage two. Here's what I think happened. Here's why. He had eminent foundation through training, experience, knowledge, skill to give that testimony, and there was no manifest error in the trial court allowing that testimony, and therefore, unless I'd ask the court to affirm, unless the court has other questions.
I gather then that the Dr. Broeker's testimony, the up and down motion was not as essential as the fraction of a second rotation. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. In fact, when I went back and looked at my record notes in preparing for argument, it seemed to me that the up and down motion really wasn't necessary to explain the injury. It accounted for everything that the jury was seeing from an evidentiary perspective from the accident. It showed how this rear damage could have occurred given the difference in heights.
But it was the very quick rotation upon which the Dr. Broeker relied.
Yes, it was. And again, Dr. Swigert agreed that the rotation was quick. He just disagreed about the effect of the quick rotation on the body tissues of Ms. Terry, and he said it's just like going around on a merry-go-round. If you're one solid piece and you're standing there, that would be true. But what Dr. Broeker was saying is that the body of the plaintiff was not one monolithic mass. It was basically separated with the pelvis moving ahead of the spine and at different rates of speed.
Go ahead, Joe.
That was primarily because of the seatbelt, I gather.
Yes, and there was testimony to that. I mean, Dr. Broeker said she's belted, she's down in the seat, the pelvis is held down by the lap belt. The shoulder harness allows for more play. And that's why you can have the difference of movement between torso and pelvis.
Is there a difference between the testimony of Swigert and Dr. Broeker, as far as Dr. Swigert said it occurred quick, the rotation? Was there more specifics offered by Dr. Broeker as to how quick?
Yes. Dr. Swigert conceded on cross it was quick. Dr. Broeker testified that because of the speed issue, it had to have been a fraction of a second. That was the difference. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. The arguments were helpful. The case now stands submitted, and we will issue an opinion in due. Students, Counsel have